you're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to work those hours. You're going to have to sacrifice. Like, you know, I didn't go on a holiday for like 10 years, right? People are like, wow. Oh no, I need to have a holiday. Like, I have to have a holiday. It doesn't matter if I have the money or not. I'm going to get it on credit, but I have to have a holiday.
Saf, I want to talk about your entire journey. I want to get into it. I want to learn about, you know, how you got started, you know, what the challenges were.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pleasure to be on because, as you said, I've been watching you guys for quite some time as well. And, you know, my go-to for anything Islamic finance, I'm always on the YouTube channel. I'm seeing your shorts pop up a lot more as well nowadays.
Oh, is it?
I'm like, because I'm going to give credit to my cousin Cass, who actually recommended a lot of your content. And you know how it is on TikTok and YouTube. As soon as you see one video, then you start getting recommended more and more.
Shout out to Cass, wherever he is.
Cass, my cousin Cass, mashallah, top lad. So yeah, so I've been watching a lot of your lot's content as well for quite some time. But yeah, for myself, it's been 11 years, alhamdulillah. 11 years and a bit, a few months now.
I want to ask you about, where do you get this creative spark from? Like, what was, you know, what's the thing that, you know, keeps you going?
Alhamdulillah, I mean, I've always, I would say from a very young age, just been quite creative. That's something that's been a bit of my passion. And I've also been a little bit technical as well, which I think is a quite unique combination. So my background, surprisingly, and a lot of people won't know this, but I used to make flash websites.
Oh, really?
Adobe Flash, yeah. So that was like a good combination. I used to kind of combine the design elements and 3D and creativity with the technical elements and scripting in ActionScript and stuff like that. So I think that's quite a unique position, alhamdulillah. But I've always had that, like when we were kids, me, my brothers, we would be, you know, when my dad was at work, we'd grab his camcorder and we'll be making lots of videos amongst each other. Thankfully, none of those videos are online and I hope they never will be. But yeah, we were just really like interested in making content, right? We used to watch all these films and, you know, especially action films. It'd be like, all right, let's go ahead and let's reenact this, right? Let's try to do it ourselves. Let's try to replicate this shot. And that was something that I was always into. So I think it just kind of came naturally. I mean, you know, some people are good with numbers, which I'm definitely not, which is why I have to watch your channel all the time to get all the updates. Some people are obviously creative. Some people are talented in other areas. And I think that's something that, you know, alhamdulillah, just came quite naturally.
And, you know, so I think filming and video doesn't, for me, come naturally. I think the scripts and the creative aspect of it, sure, I can deal with. But the, you know, the dealing with that technical side and that intermeshing of it with the creativity, how did, like, did it just come naturally to you? Or do you think it was like a case of, you know, you did a number of reps? And are you talking about as a kid you were doing filming?
Yeah, so I think for me, it's just because I was just really interested in that area. And generally, if you're really interested in something, you just naturally want to learn more about it, right? You want to test out different things. And, you know, I remember one of the first videos that I actually uploaded onto YouTube, which actually is still there, was a little action trailer that I did, right? So I wanted to play around with VFX. So I was just like, I wonder how they do this. So I'm watching some tutorials. Okay, how do I get this explosion to be here where it is? And, you know, like all of this stuff. And that's how it really kind of just started. It's, I think if you're passionate about something, you will naturally want to do that. And you mentioned, like, you know, when you're creating stuff, like, you are creative on the scripting side of things and the content side of things, which is obviously another skill in itself. And then there's also the visual side of things. So there are all these aspects that take place, but I think to be a YouTuber that started doing it all on your own, you have to be a jack of all trades in a sense, right?
Like, let's say novel writing, right? Yeah. To give you a very different sense, I think that to be a great novelist, you need to have great characters, you need to have a great plot, and you need to have great writing. What do you think for like a YouTuber are like the, you know, two or three, four ingredients that they have to like all come together?
So the interesting thing about YouTube is if you are starting solo, which most people do, right? You generally don't start with a team. If you, some people, they have the finances and they're like, okay, we want to get into YouTube and they'll do it professionally. They don't need to worry about the camera side of things because they'll just get somebody to do that, right? In editing, they'll just get somebody to do that. But generally speaking, I think most people on something like YouTube start themselves, right? And I think the key ingredients, I think the most important thing is your personality, that you need to be somebody that people are going to come to actually listen to. Yeah. If you're somebody that's monotone and, you know, just, you know, I come across lots of content creators who like ask me for advice, and then I'm watching their videos and I'm like, you need to be more enthusiastic. You need to be, you have to up the energy a lot. You know, so one of my things that I always say is, you know how they say the camera adds 10 pounds, right? The camera also takes off a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You might think that, oh, okay, I'm actually, you know, I'm fine. As soon as you watch it back, you're like, you know, assalamu alaikum guys, how's it going? And then you look back and say, assalamu alaikum guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So I think that's something important, but that kind of comes with time the more you do it. Like if I look back at some of my earlier videos, I'm like, I'm pretty, like not as, I mean, I generally am somebody who's quite animated and quite, you know, loud and enthusiastic. So then that kind of comes across, but you have to amplify that. So I think that's quite important. I think having the knowledge and passion in your subject area, because remember, as with anything, there's an infinite amount of different niches that you could be going into, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So both of us here, I'm focused in technology. You are obviously in, you know, Islamic finance. So there's so many different niches out there. So I think having a passion and having the knowledge of a particular area is very, very important as well. And I'd say the third thing, then it comes to having enough knowledge to make your video look good, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be, I think to begin with anyway, you don't have to be an absolute expert. You don't need to have, you know, a nice blurry background in your videos and stuff. That's not necessary, because nowadays technology has come so far where you could just use your iPhone, right, to shoot videos. And if it's a good video, right, people will watch it, right? As long as it's a good video and the content is what's more important. Obviously, in terms of making it look good, that really makes you stand out. And that's something that you can do as you progress.
Yeah. I've been trying to get Kabzi to do the bokeh effect for like 3 years now, I think. He does it sometimes, but...
Well, see, this is the thing. You need more space. So you need a lot of depth. But because you're in London, space is expensive, which is why you need to move to Leicester.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. That's what Kabzi keeps on telling me as well.
Or you need a big pockets. Yeah. Like 0.95 aperture.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those lenses are very, very expensive. But yeah, I think if you want to do that, it's simple. You don't need to spend the amount of money you'll spend on the kit. You can spend on moving to Leicester. It'd be better.
Yeah, that's. I'm gonna pitch that one to my wife. I'm like, yeah, look, Inshallah. He said it. Superstaff said it.
It's official. It's got my stamp of approval.
And how did YouTube kick off?
Okay, so I actually was working at a university. So I was a multimedia designer in the marketing department. So I would do a bunch of creative things. Initially, it started off as a Flash web designer.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So I was an expert in Flash web design. That's how I got my first proper job. So that was kind of my main area and my niche. Obviously, as you know, Flash took a downturn. And I started seeing
a
trend.
What's happened now with, like, so Flash is gone. What's the new thing? Is it just HTML now? Or
yeah, CSS? So it's HTML5, and you've got, nowadays you've got, like, with websites themselves, you don't really, like, nowadays it's apps, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people will program apps, and that's kind of what's more the theme nowadays. You don't really go on a website to play games, generally.
Yeah.
You download an app, right? Before, when you wanted the Flash websites, and also, you know, you still have to wait for something to load, and you have like a flashy intro and stuff. That's kind of gone. Now it's just video.
Yeah.
So like if you go onto a website, you'll have a really nice clean looking website. There'll be some interactive elements that they'll do with HTML5, etc. But when you want anything flashy, then you just do a video. And that's the trend that I saw, that things were changing. People were using more and more video. So I decided to get a camera. No experience, nothing apart from obviously as kids, making those little skits and stuff. I was like, I'm just really interested. So bought a Nikon D5000, and just started taking photos and videos and posting those and sharing those online. And that's really kind of how things started, because once I started doing that, a lot of people were asking me for advice. Now, where I would go for my advice, like if I wanted to see how to do a certain shot in terms of VFX or anything, I'd go onto YouTube.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, if people are asking me advice, like, let me just put that content onto YouTube. And I've always been fascinated with YouTube as a platform, right? Because you don't need to, you know, have any qualifications, or you don't need to go for any auditions.
Yeah.
Literally anybody out there right now, even a five-year-old kid can technically be a YouTuber by just filming a video on their phone and uploading it straight away. I mean, it's not necessarily going to be a good video, right? That's arguable in the term of YouTuber. But generally speaking, it's just the barrier of entry is so little that you can just go and start making content. And that's something that really, really appealed to me. Because I say this all the time, but I'm a strong believer in making your own opportunities, and that Allah helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
So if you wait around for something to come, it's probably not gonna. You have to actually go out there and take the actions for it. And for me, YouTube was that perfect platform to do that.
And side question, did you do any wedding photography?
I did. Yeah, that bit I smoothly missed out, but thanks Ibrahim for bringing that in. So yeah, I mean, the thing is, when you're starting off, right, and you're posting photos and videos online, the immediate sort of connection that you get is people are like, oh, can you photograph my wedding? And you're like, all right, go on then. And then you do one, and then you post the pictures, and then it just starts snowballing after that. So for me, it was really good to start investing in gear, because the money that I was making from that, I could reinvest into buying new nice bokeh lenses with some which give you that really creamy bokeh effect and that blurry background. So I'm like, okay, if I can do this and I can make money, I can, you know, invest back into this craft that I'm trying to develop. So it was good for that. So I don't want to like kind of complain.
You just like bokeh lens on your hand, and there's the, like the bride and the groom in the background, and you're
just like that's it.
Just look at my hand.
But it was very successful. But I did not like it. Like, it wasn't enjoyable, because there's only so much creativity you can do, and it gets very repetitive, and that's something that I didn't like. And especially when you're covering weddings for, you know, our lot, shall we say, they're very long. It could be from like 4 days. And, you know, carrying your gear and camera kit everywhere around. And as I said, majority of it is very repetitive, and I did not enjoy that. So then I think about, I did it for about a year. My brother Riz was, you know, helping me out as well. We did that for about a year and a bit. And then we're like, that's it. Hang up the gloves. We don't want to do it anymore.
Saf, I had a really bright idea, I think.
Go on.
For wedding photography. So what you could do, there's two ideas here. One is you could do like guerrilla wedding photography, where like the bride and the groom don't really know that you're doing the photography, and not even on the wedding. This starts like a few days before. It's like, you know, long range shots, that sort of thing. And then the other idea I had was divorce photography.
Oh wow, that's a new niche, definitely.
That's a new niche, like, you know. And again, it is like one, maybe one side doesn't know that's what is going on.
It's like the guy's going to be like, I'm going to be divorcing my wife. Let's just get this. You stay in the distance.
But I want this on camera.
I'm not sure how well that's going to work as a business idea, but you know, feel free to take it, whoever's listening and watching, because I'm definitely not going back in that field.
Let us know in the comments below if you're up for some guerrilla wedding photography and divorce photography. So Saf, you're doing a little bit of this stuff on the side. You've got your main job. At what point, and what's your cadence of doing videos at this point? Like, how many videos are you doing? And what was the point where you're like, all right, I kind of need to really take this seriously?
So I was practically doing two jobs, right? So I was doing my 9 to 5, but evenings and weekends I was doing YouTube, because as you know, YouTube is quite demanding. It takes a lot of time and effort. So it was tough, I'm not gonna lie. It was quite a bit of a struggle. And the thing is, although from a financial point of view, I think YouTube was fine at the time, but from a personal point of view, it was the fear of, okay, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna be doing this on my own. I'm gonna be working alone from home. I'm not gonna see anybody, right? So that social aspect as well, because working at the university, I was working with my best friend, Waz. So we would just like have banter throughout the day. There is something about that office environment which is really fulfilling, and you know, just keeps you motivated. And I was like, if I lose that, what's going to be my alternative, right? So I was a little bit afraid. So I kind of needed a push, and I got that push in 2017. So you might be aware of Casey Neistat.
Yeah.
So lovely guy. In 2016, randomly, he just tweeted out of nowhere, this guy makes the best camera reviews on YouTube with a link to one of my videos and tagged me. Easy. And I was like, at this point, I didn't even know he watched my videos, right? So I was just like, wow, like my notifications were popping off and everything. And then we, you know, became online friends. And then suddenly he was just like, Saf, you need to, I want you to join me in New York for a project I'm doing with Samsung.
Wow.
So I'm like, brilliant.
And this, how do you reach out? Like, what, email or?
DM, Twitter DM, nice. Right? Because we would like just tweet each other now and then. Yeah. So I'm like, brilliant. So he's like, all right, my friend Paul's going to be in touch with you. So I'm like, wicked. So Paul, lovely guy, calls me up. He has no idea I have a full-time job. Tells me, oh, we've got this new project. It's called Do What You Can't, right? So it's about breaking away from convention. If people tell you, oh, you can't do this, you can't be a YouTuber, prove them wrong. You can't be an actor, prove them wrong. You can't be, you know, an investor, prove them wrong. I'm like, it sounds like an amazing project. Please count me in. And he's like, yeah, okay, so can you be in New York on Monday? And I'm like, it's like a Wednesday or a Thursday this time. And I'm like, so the Monday next week. I'm like, oh, let me get back to you, right? So I'm like, okay, how am I gonna ask for time off, like a couple of weeks off?
Ooh, it's a couple of weeks. To go,
yeah, because we're gonna work on this project and everything. And I've already been off this month. So I had been to Paris and Barcelona that month already. Oh, so I'd already taken time off. So I had a new, you know, manager, and I asked him, and I asked like, hey, can I get time off? And, you know, understandably, he was like, look, I'm sorry, but you can't have the time off. And then in my head, I'm thinking the project's called Do What You Can't, right? I'm being told that I can't have time off.
Yeah.
So I did istikhara, spoke to my brothers, and, you know, said bismillah and handed in my notice. So,
you didn't even have a notice period?
No, well, I did have a notice period. So I kind of gave my notice that, okay, I'm going. And I took unpaid leave to go away.
Right.
So went to New York. It was quite an experience because it was the first time I traveled business class as well. It was like, whoa, what's going on here? So we worked on this project. It was really demanding few days. And then at the end of it, you know, my video hit 1 million views within a day. Wow. Alhamdulillah, we had the video along with other creators played, you know, on a massive screen in front of thousands of people in New York. And it was just an amazing experience. And alhamdulillah, that was kind of like the turning point. I think at times you know, when it comes to making a big decision, you kind of, you're reluctant yourself, and then you need something, you need Allah to put something to just push you into that direction. And alhamdulillah, it was a really good decision to make at the time. And, you know, it's been 6 years since now. So I'm still going.
And I mean, it's an incredible point. And I think you're right. I think people sometimes they just need that push. And then once they, you know, once they realize that actually it's not too bad, once you jump over the edge of the cliff, there's a nice parachute here, you know, it does work. And even if it doesn't, then, you know, I rarely see people going back and being like, actually, you know what? I need to be the flash video maker, website maker again.
Well, I mean, it happens as well. But my advice to everybody is, like, the power of istikhara, I think, is underestimated in our communities. So I give this advice to everybody. Use the cheat code. Speak to your creator and get that help in your making your decision. Because if you are struggling with that decision to make, something or, you know, will happen, or Allah will push you in that direction that you need to be in. And that's something that I strongly believe.
Agreed. Totally. I feel like we see it all the time in our line of work with investments as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're constantly looking out for investments and, you know, it's like very small things can be the difference between an investment happening and not happening, where you're kind of like slightly turned off by this or that, or you're like, actually, you know what, even though because of all of that stuff, this is the thing that's going to make me invest. And I think, you know, alhamdulillah, so far that has proven really, you know, for us, it's worked well.
Alhamdulillah.
And I think that's not really down to, you know, me or the investment team. At a certain level, it's just, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, just kind of guiding it and, you know, finessing it. What I wanted to ask Saf is, what's the thing that, because I imagine you get lots of people coming to you now, as do we in a different area, around like, you know, how do you do it? And how can I get started? Or like, you know, how can I help? And what's the key thing that you find, you know, people are just like, you listen to the story and like, mate, you just obviously not doing this, like these two, three things.
Okay.
What are those like obvious things that people, when they come to you, you know, should be doing?
Well, the quote that I always say is that don't try to make people watch your content, make content people want to watch. And that's not the ideal situation, because ideally you'd make whatever content you wanted to make and people watch it anyway. Unfortunately, that's not the real world, right? You need to concentrate on making, if you're making content and it's not working, you need to ask yourself, okay, why is this not working? And you need to look at the gaps in the market. So the thing that I always also say is that you are likely to be your own target audience, right? So for instance, I'm somebody who's very much into tech. I enjoy covering technology. I enjoy talking about technology. You are into finance. I'm sure you're also watching content around finance and Islamic finance and stuff as well, right? So you are your own target audience. So keeping that in mind, you need to look at, what do I need to do? What's missing, right? Okay, how can I fill this gap and create what people want to watch? Now that means you can't be, you know, you might not be able to be as out there and creative as you would have been otherwise, but that's kind of,
trust me,
how it works.
I love being like crazy out there creative, but I realize that that's not,
it doesn't always work. I mean, sometimes it works, don't get me wrong, like sometimes I'll try a crazy different idea just from a point of view, is it going to work? Sometimes it'll take off and then that'll become a whole new series. Most of the times it won't work, because that's not really, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it, with YouTube, it's like, do you want to be successful, or do you want to just do this as a hobby and just make stuff that you enjoy? If you want to do that, that's fine. If you want it to be successful, if you want to grow a following, then you kind of have to follow and, you know, make content that people are looking for.
And what about the balance, that eternal balance, isn't it, between, you know, feeding your existing audience, finding new audiences? How do you think about that?
It's quite challenging to do on YouTube, I'll be honest with you, because once you've kind of established a particular type of audience, they subscribe for something particular. So like right now, I've obviously subscribed to your channel, and now if you suddenly just, you know, start doing makeup tutorials,
easy.
As an out there example, obviously I'm gonna watch it. Some good ideas. But yeah, like you know, if it's something that's related, then fair enough. But if it's something that's completely, and I've seen a lot of people do that, they'll be like, they'll create a tech channel, and they're like, okay, I'm fed up of tech, now I'm gonna do something else, and then flat. Or I've seen other creators in particular who have just been making content on one particular game, right? So it's a gaming content creator, they've been making content on games, and then that game dies off, and then they try to move to a different game, and not everybody that was into that game is into this game.
Oh no.
And then, like, you know, videos like that were getting hundreds of thousands of views now get like 10,000 views, if that. And that's just the way the platform works, unfortunately. So you have to kind of work with what you have.
I see that. The other thing I find, you know, when people come in and speak, is that they just haven't done enough reps, and they just often aren't putting enough work in. Because, you know, you were saying that before you did this for a good few years, you're effectively running two jobs.
Yes.
Side by side.
Yep.
That's the level, you know, of effort that I think it takes, at least, right?
Yeah.
And just people aren't just doing the reps.
So, well, if nothing worth having in life comes easy, right? It's just the way it is. So if you do want that level of success, if you do want that successful YouTube channel, you're gonna have to put in the work. You're gonna have to work those hours. You're gonna have to sacrifice. Like, you know, I didn't go on a holiday for like 10 years, right? People are like, oh no, I need to have a holiday. Like, I have to have a holiday. It doesn't matter if I have the money or not, I'm gonna get it on credit, but I have to have a holiday. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand the reset that that does to you, but if you've got other priorities, like I had, that was my passion. I was like, I need to do this. This is what I need to work on. Everything else, like the amount of times I canceled plans with my family, friends and stuff like that. The first holiday that I actually had after God knows how many years with the family, I actually had to cut it short because a project came in. So it's already, everything was booked. And then I was like, oh, actually, I have to meet you guys there 4 days later because I've had this massive project in, which I can't say no to. So you have to make those sacrifices. And, you know, I'd love to sit here and, like, you know, just paint a pretty picture, which a lot of people do, that, oh, yeah, it's not sunshine and rainbows. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. But at the same time, if you want to achieve something, then you have to make those sacrifices, right?
And Saf, what's the secret to your longevity, I think, as well in this space, right? Because a lot of YouTubers just burn out and, you know.
So I think the secret about what I do is what I cover, technology. And that's something that I think is a huge benefit because people come to me to hear about my view on a particular piece of technology, right? I am not fully reliant on just myself to be entertaining and exciting, which is the case for a lot of people who are, you know, maybe comedians or doing vlogging where it's all about them. So it's a very, very different different challenge. So I think, alhamdulillah, I'm very blessed to be in this place because guess what? There's going to be a new iPhone every year, right? So I've got something to talk about, right? So alhamdulillah, I think that's been one of the key things. So I don't want to, like, kind of put it all on me about the longevity. It is because of the area that I cover, there's always something new to talk about. And I'm,
kudos to Apple. Good stuff, guys.
Apple, Samsung, all of these brands, they're creating so much new tech, right? And we're all interested in tech, especially now, like everybody's just on their smartphones constantly, right?
Yeah.
So I've always got something to talk about, which makes my life a lot easier, right? So I think that really, really helps.
And this is the moment to reveal that actually this is not Super Saf.
Yeah, this is AI. This has been completely generated. Which, I mean, might not be surprising in a few years.
I know, it's crazy. That's actually happening, isn't it? What do you think about AI? Like, do you think that's going to have a big impact on this whole phone situation?
I think it's going to have an impact on everything. Like, there's three things. When I look at AI, my first impression is, wow, this is amazing. How could it help me in this, this, and this way, right? My second reaction is, okay, is this, like, how many jobs is this going to take over? What kind of impact is that going to have? Because if AI can do all of this, right, then...
Including your job?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. But then my third fear is, we've all seen Terminator. We know what Skynet is capable of. So then it's just like, oh, actually, are we moving too fast? Is this dangerous? Because if AI gets to a point where, because you've seen how fast the progress has been, especially in the past few months. If the progress has been that fast in these few months, where does it go to in 5 years' time?
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's insane, isn't it? Because, like, leading artificial intelligence academics and technologists are saying, you know, pause, take a pause, just think about it. We actually did an interview that's coming out, I think, next week with Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad.
Okay.
Who said exactly the same thing. He was like, I would ban AI research in the future because I think it's like, you know, we're heading in the wrong direction. I mean, I don't know if I would go as far as that.
Yeah. But we need to be careful. We need to put the brakes on and really understand what's at stake here because we just don't know. There's too many question marks. Yeah. And, you know, I think rightly so, it's it is scary.
Because we're plugged in, aren't we? Like the entire... you know, system, the infrastructure is now digital.
It is.
And now you've got this, like, you know, AI is like knocking around.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it only takes like a bit of iteration in the background because they're like learning constantly to develop a personality.
Yes.
Right. And they can now kind of develop a person and the point of view. And if you put those two things together, then suddenly they might decide, actually, you know, my conception of good or what should be is this.
Yeah.
And I'm in charge of the traffic system. Yeah. So, all right, let's go. And suddenly you've got, you know, red lights everywhere and whatever they, you know, they want to do.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, we've seen films like The Terminator. We've seen iRobot. There's so many of these films which, you know, talk about these areas. And it's just, as I said, I think it's just about the unknown, right? Because it could be, I mean, there's lots of benefits that are going to come from it as well. Self-driving, for example, like collision avoidance, things like that. There's going to be so many advantages that are going to be coming.
For sure.
But at the same time, okay, how far does it go? Does it keep going further and further? Does it replace everything else? Like, you know, a lot of it's going to be positive, don't get me wrong. But there is also the unknown which we need to be careful about.
100%. I feel like, you know, there's this Terminator, iRobot, all these kind of like crazy situations.
Yeah.
And before, when the films came out, we were here.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really see a clear pathway to them.
Yeah.
So it was just entertainment. Mm. But I think we're now here.
Yeah.
And you can actually, like I just did,
yeah,
kind of sketch out a route to that.
Yes.
And you can actually see it quite, yeah, clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think that's the thing that's, you know, concerning people. Mm. But Saf, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I mean, are you seeing AI influence YouTube these days? Because I've seen these cryptocurrency scams where,
yeah,
they create these like fake videos and they get YouTube bots to turn up and it's like 25,000 people watching this live thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy because like sometimes, so the comment situation on YouTube is crazy, right? You get so many impersonators coming in, you know, just pretending to be you guys, so like pretending to be us guys on YouTube, right? So there's that element. But then you get some more sophisticated bots, right, which come in and they will have conversations with each other. So I'll see a comment,
yeah,
and it will have 50 replies, right, and 100 upvotes. So it's the top comment, it's got nothing to do with the video, it's talking about some sort of crypto expert that they're pushing it towards.
I know.
And you're like, you know what, I'm kind of impressed because, you know, if you were doing this manually, you'd have to create 50 different accounts. You'd have to go through this. Obviously, this is all being automated, but the level of sophistication that it's already at this stage, I mean, it can only get better, right?
Scary. It's scary. We get a lot of those because obviously, yeah, we talk about finance, so they love that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Saf, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, YouTube economics. Like, when can you make a living off YouTube?
Mm.
And, you know, is it a good living? When does it become a good living?
So it's really interesting because a lot of people think money is related to subscriber numbers. It's not necessarily the case, right? So people think that, okay, if you hit 1 million subscribers, you're a millionaire. No, that's not how it works, right? It's about the content that you make and how people watch that content. And for instance, right now, if you're making content around finance, that's more lucrative on YouTube because financial companies will pay more for, sure, ads,
yeah,
to be placed on your videos. So you've got the AdSense model, right? Now, personally speaking, I disable a lot of ads on my videos. So obviously anything that's considered haram, I will just switch it off. So I did that a few years ago. You can do that in the settings. So if anybody's watching this and you're thinking, I don't want to make a living from AdSense, then you can actually go in and, you know, gambling, alcohol, you can actually switch these things off, which, yeah, is really good. So you don't make as much money, but at least inshallah it's halal. And, you know, I believe you guys are switch off ads completely, yeah, right? Right, which is...
It's not like, you know, it's not like a philosophical position.
Hmm.
It's more that it doesn't really make us any money.
Yeah.
And we'd much rather just not have that, okay, hassle.
Yeah, no, which is understandable. So I think the first sort of barrier to entry is becoming a partner on YouTube. So I think right now it's like 1,000 subscribers and around 4,000 hours of watch time. So once you do that, that's the kind of, I would say, the easiest way to start making money on your content. If you've got ads playing in your videos, now obviously it depends on the type of content. Certain types of content, as we discussed, will make more money than others. And I think that's a good sort of assessment of how much income you can make based on the content that you're making, right? You're gonna have fluctuations. So here in tech, obviously when there's a new release, then you make more from AdSense. But I would say in the long run, AdSense, for a lot of people, that's like their bread and butter. You've got so much coming in from AdSense, you're fine. For me personally, I would say it's about 25% of what my income is, probably less maybe. So I have the AdSense coming in. But then once you kind of establish yourself, and especially if you establish yourself in a niche, then you can start working with sponsors. So that's what I do, is I'll work with sponsors, with a brand where I'll have like integrations in my videos. I might do a sponsored video here and there. And that's where you'll kind of make a bunch of money a larger chunk of your income. Yeah. And then also affiliates. So if you are, especially if you're covering product, if you have an affiliate setup, then things that you sell through your links, which I actually am very new to. Mm. I didn't do it for a long time because I was like, it's not making me enough money. So I was in the same mindset as you with AdSense. I was like, oh, it's not worth it.
Oh, really?
And then I actually started taking it seriously and I was like, oh,
Easy.
Yeah. So it's really interesting how you've got the different revenue streams, but you have to make sure you diversify how you have those. But I would say, yeah, the entry level is AdSense, and then you can start developing other things.
And how did you develop that muscle? Because, you know, you're not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not like from a, let's say, an entrepreneurial family or like business family. Mm-hmm. And you've kind of, ultimately, you kind of have to run a business here, right? And negotiate and like do all of this other stuff. How did you navigate that?
I wasn't very good at it to start off with, if I'm honest with you. It's something that you learn with experience. So it was something that, okay, you have these deals coming in, and then a lot of times I'd be like, quote something, and then they'll say yes straight away. And I was like, oh, that was easy. And then you realize that what they paid you was probably less than what they paid the lighting guy, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was on a project once where there was like a whole team of like 20 people. And, you know, I had like probably charged a couple of £100. Right? And I was just thinking, oh, like they paid a lot more for the team here.
Just everyone here. Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'm like supposed to be the main talent, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's also important to talk to others in your area, right? So I know, like, you know, people like some of my friends, like Ali Abdal, and, you know, there's another one of my friends, Olia, they're very open about what they make, right? Yeah. I don't do that for personal reasons, but I think within your friend circle, if you're networking with other peers that are doing similar things to you, it's important to know, okay, what is the going rate, right? Mm. How do I price myself where I'm not, you know, just undervaluing massively? Because the thing is, the way we kind of, like, but my thinking from a part, you know, from a full-time job is, okay, this is, I'm spending a day on this, right? Yeah. All right, what am I getting paid for a day at my job? Yeah, okay, if it's more than this, then it's good. It's like, no, that's not the way to think about it. Because you have to consider that, you know, what you're bringing to the table. Mm. You're not only bringing, you know, especially if you're uploading a video onto your own YouTube channel, you're giving them distribution to a very targeted audience as well. You have to consider all of these things, which I've learned over time.
Yeah. And how big is your team these days?
So it's still quite a small team. It's myself, my brother Riz, who you've met, and I have some help, like from family to like for some of the admin side of things and things like that. And we've got an editor hopefully starting soon. So it's still a very, very small team. In terms of the actual video production, right now I do it all myself.
Amazing. Yeah. And Saf, what would you say, you know, is the thing that is exciting you about the future in the next, like, you know, the next 3 months, the next 12 months, and the next, I don't know, 3 years?
Well, I think right now it's especially with the online world, it moves so fast, right? So you just don't know what's coming up next. So I kind of like take things as they come. But what's exciting me is just how much tech and innovation is coming from areas like the Middle East, which I'm really excited about. Mm. So I've been going there a lot more. I really like the trend that's coming from there. I'm a bit biased because I like going there. I can eat anything I want. The weather's nice and things like that. But that's something that I'm really excited about, and I'm, you know, looking to work more on, just because there's so much opportunity coming from those areas. So I think from that point of view, in terms of anything specific, obviously we've got new technology where there's a lot of VR and AR as well. So, you know, I'm waiting for the time we can have sunglasses which look like normal glasses but have everything built in. You know, there's a lot that will be coming up in the world of tech, inshallah.
And on the Middle East, like, what are the trends that you're seeing? Because you go out there regularly, right? Mm. And in the tech space as well, what's exciting you? What are the trends that you're seeing?
Well, there's like, I was in Jitex where we actually met, remember?
Yeah.
Like, just seeing everything kind of come together in somewhere like Dubai, which is like a tech hub, should we say, right? I love seeing stuff like that. In Saudi, we've got NEOM, which is really exciting. I'd love to see how that comes along. I've spoken to some people who are actually, you know, part of that and working on it and stuff. And I'm like, that's really exciting. I'd love to actually go out there and explore and make content around those sort of things. So I think the way we're kind of developing, like, you know, being connected by technology, being in places which are central hubs for technology, and, you know, it's just, for me, it's just really exciting.
Yeah, really cool. I think it's, there's like a younger generation coming through there as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Which there's a nice link with technology because older people, just generally speaking, are less inclined towards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're younger than me, I know, but I think you must have grown up in the time when you obviously had before smartphones, life before smartphones and the internet, and then life after smartphones and the internet.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
Nokia 3310.
Yeah, so we kind of experienced both sides, which I think is a very unique perspective because you have the older generation, which, just didn't have any technology. We had us, which had like the crossover, and I think we were at that sweet spot. So we got to see the world without that technology and with, and I think that's a very unique perspective to be in because we appreciate both sides.
That's really powerful. Yeah, I hadn't really ever thought about that. Mm. So you've been watching our videos. Are you doing a bit of the investment stuff?
Yes. Well, if I'm honest with you, when it was lockdown, everybody was interested in investments. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll open a Trading 212 account and put some money in here. And I was like, shout out to my cousin Cass again. He's like, yeah, bro, you can't actually do that. You need to make sure these companies are halal to invest in. And I had no idea, which is why I came across your content and I came across Wahid as well. And I've been, doing a few things with podcasts as well on there. I'm very interested in the space. And if I'm honest with you, when it comes to investments, I'm a complete novice, which is why I'm always asking you for advice. But it's something that I'm really looking more to get into. I'm already invested a little bit, but I'll be doing more as well, inshallah.
Brilliant. With Saf, what would you say, is your relationship to money?
So I'm somebody who, obviously having money is good, but I, grew up in council flats. So I've not had money and I've had money. So my relationship with money is, I was initially very much like, I want to make a lot of money. But then I kind of realized that it's nice to make money, but like there's so many other things to life, right? So like you won't see me with any designer, clothing or anything like that. My car is a Tesla, but that's because of work. Obviously, I cover electric vehicles on my channel, so that's the reason for it. Before that, I had my Vauxhall Astra, I was happy with it. So I think my relationship with money is, I'm happy with whatever Allah's gonna bless me with. But at the same time, I need to be smart with the money that I have. I can't just have it sitting there, not doing anything. I want it to be making myself more halal income and thinking about long-term how that's gonna help me, inshallah, in 5-10 years time when, maybe my YouTube channel might not be doing as well.
Yeah, yeah, because the AI has taken over and we're all living underground.
Yeah, so
Matrix 3 scenario.
Then money's not gonna be worth anything.
I know.
Because then it's just gonna be pointless. We'll you might be using, like Escobar, using money to keep warm, burning money
cigarettes.
To keep warm.
It won't be cigarettes, it'll be vapes.
Yeah.
We'll be exchanging vapes. Saf, so you're doing a little bit of halal investing, you're thinking about it. What about like the whole fintech scene generally? And like, are you seeing interesting technology trends there? Like, how do you think about that stuff?
I think there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. And, I think when it comes to investments, I think there's halal investments in particular, there hasn't really been much for us to do, right? I remember back when I got my mortgage, there was only one option, essentially, like to get a halal mortgage. Now we have others, which I've been finding out from yourself. There are so many options when it comes to lots of different investments as well, which I had no idea about. And I think that space, needs more. And if somebody's starting a halal business and you want to make sure that the money coming in is halal and, having somewhere where you can find those investments is really powerful. And I think we need to be doing more of it.
Saf, any final messages to your audience and our audience?
Well, to my audience, I'm just grateful that I've been getting the support for many, many years. And I hope they'll continue supporting as well. But I'm super grateful to be in the position that I'm in and have connection with my audience like I do. For your audiences, make sure you subscribe.
Yes.
This is a Saf. No, of course. For your audiences, I think there's so much to learn from what you guys do. And as I said, I'm one of those people. And that's the reason why I commented is because I was actually benefiting from the content you guys were making. And, that's led to us having these conversations. And I think that's so powerful about the world of being online is that you can be involved in these conversations, and then you can actually, those conversations can then lead to personal conversations and business as well. So I think that's very important. So I think, you know, continue watching and learning from Islamic Finance Guru.
No, JazakAllah khair, Saf, and really appreciate you making the time. And we'll be back when this place is decked out.
Yes.
In a few months' time, maybe a few years' time. Inshallah. And, you know, onwards and upwards. May Allah put barakah in everything that you do.
Ameen. JazakAllah khair. I really appreciate you guys coming down. You're one of the first guests here in this empty space, which inshallah will develop into a proper creative hub. That's the plan, inshallah, long term. So, you know, welcome to come back again. Inshallah, I'd love to have you on my podcast as well. Definitely. Once we've got everything decked up. But lovely to have you. And inshallah, next time you can come with some more time.
Definitely. JazakAllah khair, Saf. Assalamu alaikum.
Barakallahu feek. Wa alaikum salam.